to me your secrets. Show me your nightmares. All cats are gray in the dark, dear. Whether or not you dare.
Welcome to All Cats Are Gray in the Dark. I'm your host, April Simmons. This podcast contains true cases of graphic violent crimes and other stories of a dark nature. Please be advised that due to the subject matter and violent, sometimes sexual content and obscene language, this podcast is not for children or the faint of heart.
Come here!
Hello, listeners. We have some spooky stories for you.
Spoopy.
Spoopy. It's spoopy season.
Happy Halloween, Wes. The best time of the year.
Yeah. Except I don't get to leave the house. Actually, we're probably going on a little mini trip soon. But that's a whole nother story.
Nancy will probably be working, and I doubt we'll get trick-or-treaters. But apparently the town Justin's from takes Halloween very seriously. It's like a really small neighborhood. Like, most of the houses are on this, well, in the neighborhood they live in. And he said, like, 90% of the houses give out candy and all the kids come out. So I'm like, we're going to go to their house and we're going to give out candy. And I've asked him to please dress up as Pennywise and sit in a chair and scare the shit out of children.
You agree to that?
Yes. He was excited about it.
I need pictures or video or something. For that.
So I'm pretty pumped. I've had my decorations up, Halloween decorations up for weeks. So everybody else, like, October 1st was like a Saturday here, and everybody else's decor went up then, but mine's been up since like early September. But it's just so interesting. Even the, like, Halloween decorations around here, like, there's more here than there was in Tupelo. Like, the Walmart section's bigger. It's been out longer. I've seen more Halloween decor here than I ever saw in Mississippi.
Like, because you're in Stephen King land.
Yeah, true. But that's what I keep telling myself. But it's probably really because people
are from the south.
And, yeah, people aren't stupid and think that Halloween's
demons.
The devil.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's been it's been exciting. Yeah. I don't know. I'm super pumped for Halloween.
I guess let's.
I just said I don't have any part. Like, we don't have any friends, obviously. So we haven't met a single person or set of people or anything. Like, so we have no friends. We aren't going to get to go to a Halloween.
You have
party.
To leave the house to meet people. I have same problem, but
we went to a game store once, and nobody thought we were cool enough to talk to. Really, we were there like 2 seconds. I bought one magic deck, and the owner was nice, but that was it. And Nancy, oh my god, she'll probably kill me for telling this story, but we went in there and we, like, she came in with us and we looked around and people were playing like magic in the back, and I guess they had just opened at this new location like literally that day. We came out and Nancy's like, mom, those people were not even cool enough for you guys. So that was such a mean thing to say for those people and to even us. Like, they're not cool enough for you, even you guys.
Yeah.
It's like, what does that make us? Damn.
No, right.
But yeah, we haven't even, like, they have D&D nights there and we want to go, but we just haven't yet.
And James just got back into magic because a bunch of his old friends got together and had like a little get together, and they sat around and played magic all night. And I'm just annoyed by it because I was like, don't you start collecting magic cards, because I swear. Because he went out and bought a deck just for that, because he didn't have any more.
Yeah.
So he went out and bought a deck just for that. But he found one on clearance, like from I think it was GameStop in New Albany or something. But
yeah.
Like, yeah, I was just like, I don't want you spending money on this crap, please. Time and money, really.
Yeah, it's a hobby that Yeah, costs a lot of money quickly. Anyway, we've already been talking almost 5 minutes.
Yeah. We've got a little bit of a longer episode, maybe. I'm not sure. Yeah. But we're going to try.
Because I researched it and I couldn't stop.
And I don't know what any of these stories are. So if I stumble through some words, I'm sorry. Because Sabrina's the one that did the research on these because I got lazy this time.
Well, I was also lazy. I did read through the majority of it. So hopefully they're good. And written well. But some of them, I read most of it, like, I found, like, a list of some different things, because our episodes, the next two episodes are going to be Kids Are Creepy, because I joke about that all the time, that kids scare me more than anything. So, yeah, I tried to find some good kid stories, but a lot of the writing on some of these websites sucked ass, so I'd have to look further for the actual, where the stories originated from. So hopefully I found better worded versions for us.
Okay. I guess I'll start. This one says, "Dear David, nothing captures people's imaginations quite like a good ghost story, especially one you watch play out in real time on your computer screen while you're safely at home ensconced in your bed with all the doors and windows locked. This week, fans of the occult were captivated by illustrator and author Adam Ellis's Twitter thread about a little ghost boy named Dear David who may or may not be trying to kill him. Bustle caught up with him on the incident, which he describes as something I don't understand yet. And apparently it's only gotten worse. To recap, Adam was experiencing an episode of sleep paralysis when he first saw the boy sitting in the green rocking chair at the foot of his bed. A few nights later, he had another dream where a girl said, 'You've seen Dear David, haven't you?' At this point, I made the personal decision to never sleep again. She reportedly told Adam that David only appears at midnight, and he could ask the boy two questions if he said Dear David first. But if he asked three, David would kill him. When David appeared in his dreams again, Adam forgot the warning and asked the ghost three questions." Well, that seems pretty dumb.
Yeah.
"Nothing happened for a few months and life went on. Adam moved to an apartment upstairs from his new one. Then last week, Adam's cat began staring at his front door at exactly midnight. One night, Adam looked out the peephole and swore he saw movement, but when he opened the door, nothing was there." Cool. Good thing I'm on that no sleep kick now.
Yeah, so this one, I could have, it's like a whole Twitter story, like, that spans a while, because it's this one dude kind of live tweeting shit happening to him after he had those dreams, so we'll obviously share the link to it, but there's pictures that he took where it almost looks like something through the peephole, and it's got, like, live footage of his cats, like, him holding the clock and the cat staring at the door at midnight, like, multiple nights in a row. It's pretty entertaining and frightening. And what's one of the things I found funny about it was everybody's like, "This is, why would you fucking have a rocking chair in your room? You're just asking for ghosts." But he's like, "No, it's like a fucking cutesy modern, like, rocking chair," and he, like, had to share a picture of it. No, it's not a creepy rocking chair that's haunted. But I just found it entertaining that it was, like, live tweeted and everything. That's all one. Those are subcategories of that one. I see you highlighting things while it's all part of Ghost Boy of Clinton Road, which is what I'm reading.
Well, do you want me to read part of it or do you not?
I think most of the rest of these are pretty long, so I'll just read the section. So this one I looked up, Ghost Boy of Clinton Road. There's, like, it's basically built off of an urban legend. So there's, like, various, like, versions of it. So I copied all of them because I just found it interesting, all the different variations there were that people say. So, "Probably the most common ghost story that we hear about Clinton Road is that of a dead young boy who hangs out under a bridge and returns coins to you after you throw them in the water. As far as we know, this tale is unique to Clinton Road, but it's difficult to say when or how this story began. On a recent visit to the bridge at Dead Man's Curve, we were surprised and delighted to see just how many people had recently stopped by to test the validity of the legend of the Ghost Boy of Clinton Road. As we peered over the guardrail and down into the tea-colored water of the stream, we could see clearly dozens of coins resting on the bottom among the stones of the creek bed. There is no way of knowing how many appearances the ghost boy made when summoned by the coin tossers. It should be noted that there is more than one bridge located on Clinton Road, and nobody really knows for sure which one of the ghost boys supposedly hangs out beneath. Which one the ghost boy supposedly hangs out beneath. Basically, nobody knows which bridge. A second bridge is located several miles to the south of Dead Man's Curve, just above the old stone iron furnace. This bridge straddles a stony cleft through which a waterfall crashes mightily. If the ghost boy's spirit haunts this bridge, then his trip up to return thrown coins would certainly be a much more challenging task, if he was alive, that is. Although he is the most talked about apparition to haunt Clinton Road, he is by no means the sole spirit to spook the street. And honestly, I just kind of want to go there at this point.
Where is this? It just says Clinton Road, but Clinton
I think it's in New Jersey, or like it's close enough for me to drive to, at least. Where to go? Let me try to find my link to it. Oh yeah, New Jersey. So I'm like, dang. And it's not the only story. It's just like a road full of a bunch of creepy stuff. Like, here's some of the other titles of these things. You got Partying at Cross Castle, The Albinos of Clinton Road, Never Get Out of Your Car on Clinton Road, The KKK in Cross Castle. And like, there's just like endless stories about this one road. That could probably be its own freaking episode.
Yeah. We might need to make a note.
Yeah.
The next one says, if you ever decide to travel down Clinton Road, stop by the Dead Man's Curve. As the story goes, if you sit on the bridge and throw pennies into the river, the ghost will throw them back at you. So that's a different variation of
that.
The rumor, it says, years before any of us had heard about the road, a boy was challenged by his friends to stand on the bridge as they drove to Route 23 and back. Unfortunately, by the time the friends returned, they found their friend dead. There is a bridge painted as a memorial to him. Another rumor of Clinton Road is that you throw the penny into the lake. The next morning, the penny will be on the road. Supposedly, there was a kid that drowned there trying to get a ball or something, and the kid is supposed to appear at night and pick up the penny and put it on the ground. This person says, my friends and I decided to find out if that was true or not. We went to the bridge and threw a quarter off, but a minute later, you hear the bloop. And as if you dropped the quarter in again, the water filled with ripples and a child's reflection appeared. I flew back to the car. That scared all of us. So that one's interesting.
Yeah. So then you also have a variation where the ghost boy pushes you into the lakes. This one says, I went up to Clinton Road with two friends of mine. The really weird legend is that of the little boy. The story I heard was that a little boy was hit by a car and killed on the bridge when he went to pick up a quarter he saw on the ground. The legend is that if you get out of your car and stand on the bridge, you will see a quarter drop, and if you bend to pick it up, the little boy will push you into the lake to save you from being hit by a car.
That doesn't
seem... It's just so cool to all these variations.
Yeah. Well, it's like the telephone game. It's a real life telephone game. Then there's this one says, yesterday at 8 p.m., me and my friend Mike were going to a movie at the drive-in. There's a drive-in? We need to go there. Let's do an episode from the drive-in on Clinton Road. We stopped on the bridge, and he told me all the stories about the boy being killed. So I threw a quarter off the edge, and we drove away. On the way home, at 11:30, we passed over the bridge and stopped because he wanted to point out the kid's name on the side of the bridge. Just when he said the kid's name, a quarter or something metal was thrown hard against the window of a car. We were shocked for a minute, but then drove away. I'm not going on that road for a long time.
I love how this one's called The Clinton Coast Kid Doesn't Want Your Quarters. But yeah, it's just interesting all the stories people have told about it. I don't know. I liked it. But I definitely want to go on this road, considering the amount of stories. And I guess we'll try to look into these stories more and maybe do a whole episode. So this one is one from Reddit someone had posted called The Sheet Ghost. So this was several years ago when I was a total deadbeat and lived with my then girlfriend's parents. They had a tri-level house with the basement that contained our living space and my girlfriend and I's bedroom. Upstairs was the living space for everyone else, the dining room and the kitchen. The third level had the master bedroom and two additional bedrooms for my girlfriend's sisters. I was home alone one night with her parents off with friends. My girlfriend and a friend and her sister were at an all-night church thing. I liked to just stay home and play WoW all night. My computer and desk sat right above my head was an AC vent. Often I could hear her sister playing in her room from that vent. I was leveling my paladin or something when I heard laughing and giggling coming from the vent. Nobody was supposed to be home, so my heart picked up. I glanced at the clock of my computer and it read 1:36 a.m. I remember this all very distinctly. I went to go investigate and headed upstairs. The way the landing sits is at the top of those stairs. You can turn left and either go upstairs or go into the kitchen. I climbed the second set of stairs and opened the first door on the left, which was her young sister's room, which is directly above the basement. Inside, I used the light of my phone to illuminate as best as I could. I saw a small figure, what I assumed was a small girl wrapped in a white sheet in the center of the room. Hugh pants shitting. This figure, this young girl, stops playing with the dolls and slowly looks at me. It let out the most ear-shattering scream you can imagine, and my skin crawls just thinking about it, and my chest tightens remembering it. I wish I could tell you what transpired, but I remember waking up at the bottom of the landing right next to the door of the kitchen. I stumbled into the kitchen to get a drink of water and contemplate what the fuck just happened. I glanced at the clock on the microwave. The clock read 4:46 a.m. We never found the sheet the next day, but the dolls the figure was playing with were sitting in the middle of the room, away from the toy chest they were inside of that afternoon when she cleaned her room. They had some edits, but it should, we don't care about. So, yeah, no. No thanks. No thanks, kids. Kids wearing sheets. Yeah. No thanks.
Yeah, that is pretty creepy. But I just caught myself thinking, 1:36, 4:36, like, did time change happen?
Yeah.
Anyway, the next one says the dead children's playground in Huntsville.
Yeah, apparently.
Adjoining Huntsville's historic Maple Hill Cemetery is a playground that looks much like any other, featuring a modern swing set and climbing apparatus. But this playground isn't like others. Passersby often say they see the swings moving on their own, as well as orbs or spectral figures. The playground is surrounded on three sides by the limestone that formed many caves in the area, giving it a shadowed appearance that lends itself to spooky legends. The proximity to the historic cemetery doesn't hurt either. Local teens call it the Dead Children's Playground, a macabre name for a place still used by families. So how did the innocent place get its gruesome name? According to legend, many children who died in Huntsville during the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic are buried in Maple Hill plots adjoining the playground. The spirits of the children, some say, come out after dark to run and play, as they might have in life. An online search turns up photos of unexplained shadows and orbs. Is it true many children, as well as adults, died during the worldwide pandemic, which killed an estimated 50 million people? I almost said 50 people. That's not as impressive, huh?
Mm-hmm.
50 million people worldwide and hit Huntsville particularly hard. Hospital beds were filled and doctors were working long shifts in hopes of easing some of the patient's misery. Although there is no official count of the number of children who died in Huntsville during the pandemic or how many were buried in Maple Hill, the number must have been in the hundreds. Well, that's
creepy. What's interesting to me in this one is, like, adjoining Huntsville's historic Maple Hill Cemetery is a playground. I mean, there's your problem right there. Like, I don't know what else. Like, why would you do that? Why would you put a playground next to a cemetery?
It's like putting a garbage dump next to an eatery.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It just seems weird, like an odd choice there.
Yeah. All right. So this one is just called K.
K.
K. Years ago, when I was about 11 or 12, my little sister and I would mess with a Ouija board. We'd gotten one for Christmas once, but we were asked to burn it by our grandmother, who was certain, on the advice of the 700 Club, that it was an instrument of the devil and not such a good thing for our moral development. But we were not to be prevented, so we took an old piece of plywood and tarted it up with lipstick, alphabet, and yes and no, and such, and then wadded up a piece of aluminum foil to use as a planchette.
Fancy.
We'd sit in the backyard, it was summertime, and call up all sorts of interesting spirits and have facile conversation with, conversations with them. During this period of time, I came in from mowing the lawn one early evening, and my mom informed me that I'd had a phone call. A girl. I was at an age where phone calls from girls were desired, but rare, so I was taken aback. Who had called K, Mom said. Her number's on the fridge. This was weird. There were no K's in my junior high circle of friends. In fact, no K's at all that I could think of. But the previous day, my sister and I had Ouija'd up a K, supposedly dead at a young age. This was very weird. So I hustled up to the parents' bedroom, which was the place to make daylight private phone calls, and dialed the number. K answered. The connection was fuzzy and full of static, like in a wind tunnel, but the voice was clear. Do you know who this is? She said. I responded that I had a pretty good idea. So what did we talk about? I wish I could tell you. It happened pretty fast, and I, in my boy detective ways, would press her about where she was calling from and that kind of thing, but she was glancing, almost flirty. I don't recall her answering any questions directly. I do recall at the end of the conversation, she broke off by saying that someone was coming and she had to go. And then there was a change in timbre, a swelling of the background noise, and she clicked off and was gone. Now, surely this was fake, a prank played by my sister. Best I can tell, no. I established my sister's whereabouts playing in a different backyard, and I called the number every day for 2 weeks, thinking that if it were a payphone or someone's parents' phone, someone would pick up eventually. No one ever did, and at a certain point, I stopped trying. Probably school started, or I had a crush on a girl, or both of these things. My brief episode of lilting Ray Bradbury subsided into my otherwise bucolic youth. Wow, this guy's something in his writing. When there were worlds to conquer and or to pine for. And that would have been the end of it. A funny story for one-upping spooky stories, but as the years went by, the three times I was near a Ouija board at parties in the dorm, Kay would ring in and ask for me. And I was never part of the Ouija team. I swore it off, but Kay didn't, and she wanted to speak with me, and I never did. It's pretty much only now that I'm curious about what she wanted. Back then, I was creeped out and then irritated at being bothered. I don't know what it all means or if it means anything at all. I've always been mildly interested in the paranormal and the occult in general high and low weirdness, but oddly, I've divorced that specific event of weirdness from the reading that I've done. It was what it was and still is, I guess. So I don't know if that was a phone call from the other side, an overactive adolescent imagination, or even a prank played by my sister that somehow took a life on its own. I don't know, but isn't it neat? So yeah, that's weird. I wonder if he had, I think maybe if he had told the story enough throughout time that people could just be fucking with him, honestly.
Yeah. I agree with that, but I still don't, I don't mess with Ouija boards because the times that I or people I know have messed with them, they fuck with you. I mean, let's be honest here. Whatever it is, whether it be real person or entity or demon or whatever, it's fucking with you. Like, that's been proven time and time again. So that's why I don't mess with it, because it's trying to fuck with you.
Yep. No thanks.
This one's called The Boy with the Box. I have no idea. What's in the box? I shared this story before in a similar thread. One night when I was 10, I was asleep in bed and was woken up by my bedroom door opening, then someone sitting on my bed. I felt the graze on my leg and the bed sink as they sat. Thinking it was my mom having something to tell me, I opened my eyes only to see a pale eyeless, just black empty sockets, boy who seemed to be my age sitting at the foot of the bed with his legs crossed staring at me. Or facing my direction since he had no eyes. He then reached his hand toward me and he was holding what looked like a little black box. Don't do it, man. I'm already freaked out. I'm like, don't open the box. I was freaked out, but as I reached to grab it, he hesitantly pulled back. I reached out further for it and said, give it. And as I did so, I blinked. And by the time I reopened my eyes, he was gone. The spot of the bed where he was sitting lifted back into place, but the imprint was still present. I told my mom in the morning and she was slightly freaked, but assured me I was just dreaming. Fast forward 5 years, I had my girlfriend over to do homework. After homework, she took a nap while she was waiting for her parents to pick her up. When they arrived, I tried to wake her to let her know. I nudged her, and she opened her eyes so sudden, already looking in the direction of the corner of the room where the wall meets the ceiling. lifting her finger and pointed, and as fast as she woke up, she fell asleep again. I attempted to wake her again. She came to full consciousness. I asked her what the hell was that about and explained what she did. And, I thought I was dreaming, but on the wall I saw a little boy with no eyes. There was just in a Spider-Man pose staring at me. Oh, hell no. That's when I told her the story for the first time of when I saw what I guess was the same kid. Fast forward another 5 years, still with the same girlfriend, and by this time we had a 2-year-old daughter. We were living in my old bedroom at my parents' house. My daughter would wake up at the same time every night and start talking. For a while we thought it was a normal baby thing, until I noticed it was almost the same conversation every night. I playfully asked her who she was talking to. She responded, "A little boy. He talks to me. He's nice. He's lost and looking for his mommy." I told my mom what happened the next morning. Before I got to tell her what I thought, she said, "I remember that when that happened to you, then your girlfriend. I have no idea what that is. By then, neither my girlfriend nor I have seen the little boy after our first encounter, but my daughter continued her nightly conversations until we got our own place."
Nope.
Yeah, that's a big nope for me.
Creepy kids. Take away eyes and it's worse.
I know, right? And then a Spider-Man pose in the corner of the room. Like, no. No, thank you. Your turn again.
Yay. All right. Corby Castle in Cumbria, England is the ancestral home. This one's called The Radiant Boy. It's the ancestral home of the Howard family, as in Catherine Howard, fifth wife of Henry VIII. It also plays host to a small boy who is not of this plane existence. A journal entry written by Reverend Henry of Redbury in 1803 recounted the one and only night he and his wife spent in the place while visiting. He woke in the wee hours of the morning and found the fire had burned out, but something was glimmering in the middle of the room. The glimmer grew, becoming as like a flame, and out of the flame came the apparition of a beautiful boy dressed in white with golden hair. He did not appear malevolent. Indeed, he seemed quite mild. He drifted over to the chimney and then vanished.
It's Santa.
Yeah. So I looked up, I was trying to find more because there just really wasn't a lot in the version I found. So I actually found, I guess someone had like transcribed the journal that's being discussed here, so I copied the snippet just because it was cool. It says, "It was not till we sometime afterwards visited the part of the county in which Mr. A resides that we learnt the real cause of this, of his sudden departure from Corby. The relation of the fact, as it here follows, is in his own words. Soon after we went to bed, we fell asleep. It might be between 1 and 2 in the morning when I awoke. I observed that the fire was totally extinguished, but although that was the case, and we had no light, I saw a glimmer in the center of the room, which suddenly increased to a bright flame. I looked out, apprehending that something had caught fire, when to my amazement I beheld a beautiful boy, clothed in white, with bright locks resembling gold, standing by my bedside, in which position he remained some minutes, fixing his eyes upon me with a mild and malevolent expression. He then glided gently towards the side of the chimney, where it is obvious there is no possible egress, and entirely disappeared. I found myself again in total darkness, and all remained quiet until the usual hour of rising. I declare this to be a true account of what I saw at Corby Castle, upon my word as a clergyman." So that was the snippet from the journal, and I don't know. I just found it completely entertaining. I don't know, the way it was written, I guess, because it's from ye olde days or whatever.
Yeah, I loved the accent there. That wasn't really any kind of accent, but it was a fake accent anyway.
Yeah, it was a fake accent and storytelling accent of ye olde days. That's obvious.
Okay. And this one is called The Ghost on Gladiola Street. Not every haunted location in New Orleans is well known. That's because I'm pretty convinced that all of New Orleans is haunted. I don't think it really is. You can't really differentiate. It's all fucked up. Yeah. To be completely honest, some of the most interesting stories that we have come across when it comes to ghosts and hauntings are nowhere near the French Quarter. Okay.
Yeah, because most of the houses aren't necessarily in the French Quarter, but all right.
On Gladiola Street in the Gentilly neighborhood sits a small house that was built in the early 1900s. This single-story two-bedroom house is one of the most haunted houses we have come across here in New Orleans. While there are numerous ghosts which haunt this house, including that of a man who coughs at all hours of the night. Well, that would be annoying. I would just be like, knock it off. I'm trying to sleep. I'm a light sleeper, so that would probably get on my damn nerves.
Yeah.
The most interesting is that of a little boy. Who is this ghostly child and why is he haunting this house? We'd love to know. So we've spent almost 20 nights at this location trying to get the bottom of the mystery.
Oh my God. The sad thing is, I was reading it while you were reading it, and I read that. I swear to God, I thought it said, and why is he haunting this house? I'm like, whoa, someone misspelled it and put haunting. And then I went back and it doesn't say haunting. So I'm sad.
It's a ghost that changed it. Anyway, what we do know is the ghost of this is the spirit of a young boy probably around 10 years of age. He's a little prankster that likes to audibly laugh when the homeowner does something such as bang her toe on the couch. He's also a little tattletale, seeming to be more than happy to dish out the secrets about the rest of the ghosts which haunt the house. In one case, the homeowner strongly suspected that the ghosts were causing her dog a lot of stress. There were times when the dog would be afraid to even come back in the house. Other times, the pup would curl up with her mom in bed, staring intently at the bathroom door, trembling in fright. One evening, we decided to ask the ghost if they knew who was bothering the dog. Sure enough, the voice of the little boy came through on the recorders, telling us he hits her. Who is her? We are not sure. We can only imagine that's one of the other ghosts in the house, as there is no living he in the house. Since that night, the owner of this house has made it very clear that the ghosts who have taken residence in her house should leave her dog alone. While her dog seems still nervous from time to time, reacting to strange noises, watching unseen entities walk through the house, it seems like the more serious issues revolving around the dog and the ghosts have settled down. This may not have happened without the help of her child ghost, the little boy on Gladiola Street.
Yeah, I think in the original post where I had found this, like, at least the snippet of the story, compared him to Casper, and I was like, okay, that's kind of happy. This is the least creepy kid out of all of this.
Yeah. Now that we're done with this episode, do you have any shout-outs and recommends?
Rings of Power.
Huh?
Rings of Power.
Oh, that's your recommend. I'm enjoying it.
Oh my God, did you watch episode 6 yet? What episode are you on?
This last one? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Well, we've got 20 minutes left of the one that came out this Friday, but last week's was the one that the ending was like, poof! It was insane.
I don't remember what happened, but sure.
I think you would remember the
oh, the explosion type of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Or whatever.
Spoiler alert. Yeah. That's.
I'm enjoying seeing the history of Galadriel and Elrond.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is awesome.
Who is the stranger?
I know, right? We've been arguing about that. Because initially, it seems like they're wanting us to think it's Gandalf.
I almost said Dumbledore. Gandalf, yes.
That would be
definitely. Oh, shit, that's it. It's I almost said it's Gumbledore. Damn, I need to go back to bed.
I think in the beginning, we both... You know, both James and I thought that it was going to be Gandalf, but then the darker stuff that's happened, like, it's like, I don't know, who could it be?
Yeah. I just assumed it would be Saruman based on looks and everything.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the guy kind of looks like Christopher Lee, like a younger Christopher Lee, if you stare at him, which doesn't mean anything because obviously they can't cast perfectly, right?
Yeah.
Maybe they got lucky. I don't know. We'll see.
I know, it's like, good luck.
But after this last episode, I told Justin, I was like, see, this is why Saruman hates hobbits.
Anyway. Yeah, I've been enjoying it. I'm just happy to get more Lord of the Rings crap in general.
Honestly,
I'm
yeah.
Like, every time something new Lord of the Rings comes out, I'm just like, yay, more stuff.
Definitely the Hobbit movies were my least favorite. I like this better than those.
Yeah. I still enjoyed those because
I enjoyed them too because
what's his face. Martin Freeman.
What's his face?
Yeah. I like Martin Freeman as an actor. He's great. But
yeah. No, I like it. I mean, the acting was good. I was still happy for it to be Tolkien stuff, but this is way better than that already. And a lot of people are hating on it from what I know. And I'm just like, I don't get it. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. People like to hate on fandom stuff because if it doesn't meet their specific expectations, then they don't want it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I didn't even make it. We haven't watched past the first episode of Wheel of Time. And we were really afraid Rings of Power was going to suck ass because of that.
Yeah.
But I've been told that Wheel of Time gets better. I just don't think it's going to be nearly as good as Rings of Power.
No. Well, I haven't tried to watch it because I saw a lot of people said it sucked. But I feel like, I don't know that, I can't say this about Wheel of Time, but I feel like with a lot of stuff that's got, it's a female-led cast.
Yeah.
Always gets hate.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, just look at how Star Wars nerds don't like any of the current iterations of Star Wars because there's so many strong females. I'm like, where have you been?
Yeah.
Star Wars has always had strong females in it. Hello, fucking Leia. Like, I don't, she may not have been the main focal point, but there's always been strong female leads in Star Wars. Like, I don't understand that. But people get pissy about it. People hate Rey. I don't understand that. Like, I don't know.
That's, again, one of those things. It's like, is it Star Wars? Then they like it.
That's how I am, too. But, I mean, there's obviously
people
I like. Other than what?
Jar Jar.
Oh, well, that's everybody. except MC Chris, who loves Jar Jar. Anyway.
Ooh, yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, but his fans give him a bunch of Jar Jar stuff, so whatever. Jokes on him, I guess. that's how I see it anyway. He may not. I was going to actually recommend the Dahmer series with Evan Peters.
Yeah.
I don't think we've had an episode since then, but I just also thought it was funny that people are like, I started watching it. I one episode in and I had to turn it off because demons were coming out my TV, you know, like people are passing that kind of crap around. I'm like, no, that's not accurate. It's just a really, really dark story. I'm like, did you not realize that there was a child raping necrophiliac that eats people? Like, did you ever watch that before?
I remember that when I was a freaking kid because I was, you know, I was little when he was caught, but I remember it. I remember people talking about it like, holy God, you know?
I mean, it is horrifying. It's one of the most horrific stories out there in the realm of true crime.
Yeah.
But it's like, how could you watch a movie about Dahmer and not expect that kind of darkness to be in there? You know, I don't know. It's like, how dare they portray the actual story?
Damn you.
Exactly. I'm like, okay, just don't watch something like that. If you're not looking for that sort of thing, just don't.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. Although, I gotta say, Niecy Nash, I thought, did the best job out of anybody. I love Evan Peters, but she doesn't get near enough credit because her role was amazing in that.
Yeah.
Do you have any more recommends besides Rings of Power before we?
No, I haven't actually finished Dahmer yet, so I don't think I've even gotten to the episode you told me, like, this episode. Oh my God. So yeah, we're only like two or three episodes in.
An episode with the deaf guy.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, no, I haven't gotten to that. I started watching before Evan Peters. Like, that was, he was one of the only reasons I was able to make it through the entirety of American Horror Story. Like, all, at least up to what was out at the time. It's because I just liked him so much.
I do love Evan Peters. But we watched, like, halfway through Horror Story Hotel, and then we stopped watching. We haven't seen the rest of that.
Hotel really annoyed me when I first started watching it. But it honestly really grew on me. I really liked it by the end of it. Like, I cried. I think we've talked about that before, but I was not expecting to like those characters so much.
Yeah. Whew. Anyway.
Yep.
And I've also been rewatching old Roseanne episodes in my spare time. Because, I don't know, I like comfort things when I'm working.
Yeah.
And that's like something that I've seen like every episode of, and I've rewatched it. And I know she gets shit for being racist, and I don't agree with that. Like, I don't agree with her being racist, I mean.
Obviously.
But yeah. I still love the show regardless, and yeah. I don't know, I guess I relate to Darlene.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. Or, well, Becky too, a little bit, because she was the overachiever who failed at life. Because I watch Connors now too, with Roseanne gone. And yeah, Becky grew up to be an alcoholic, and she works at like a restaurant or something. Like, and I'm just like, nice. Yeah. Even though she was, you know, the straight A student, nerdy kid that.
Yeah.
They
don't they show both variations of Becky at some point too?
Yeah, the other Becky guest stars, the one from Scrubs.
Yeah.
She guest stars in the new series, yeah. Nice. But yeah, that's what I've been doing, is watching a lot of old Roseanne episodes.
I've finally given Parks and Rec a chance.
What?
Yeah, I'm on like season 4.
Man, I just
Justin's been wanting me to watch it for so long because he loves it.
I've been trying to talk James into it because he loved The Office, and I enjoyed our watch through of The Office, but I still actually prefer Parks and Rec.
Yeah, I cannot watch The Office. I can't do it. It's too stupid to me. Oh, but and that's what scared me away from Parks and Rec for so long. Yeah. But the more I watch it, I'm like, oh God, I'm like some sort of hybrid of Leslie Knope and Ron Swanson.
And I'm April.
Yes. I would agree with this.
Huh?
I would agree with this.
Yeah, no, I literally took some kind of really in-depth quiz, and it features like pop culture people from like everywhere. Like every pop culture, and that was literally my number one. Out of a list of 50, the number one is her.
That's funny.
I'm like, yeah, I could see that. Yeah, yeah. And it's just funny that she ended up with Pratt, because in real life, I would never go for somebody like Pratt. not that character anyway, because he's dumb. He's so dumb. Like, that would drive me nuts. Like, I could not.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't care how hot you are. If you're dumb, I can't deal with it. Like, that's my opinion.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess we need to wrap it up and stop talking about stupid stuff, because we've got another episode to record for y'all.
Yay! Yay!
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Next week.
Next week, yep.
2 weeks from